Well, hello everyone. Good morning. Nice to be with you once more. I want us to think about this morning about where we are in our lives. You see, most of us move through life as if tomorrow is guaranteed. We make plans, we set goals, we fill our days, often without stopping to ask whether the way we are living and the things that we are planning are really reflecting what matters to God and what is right for us. I have to confess that sometimes I feel like I'm sleepwalking through life. These days, the days just keep merging together. And I feel my life is just, I'm just letting it slip by. Today, I've been alive 26,391 days. And that's a long time. And I just don't know where it's all gone. And scripture reminds us, doesn't it, that life is fragile, it's brief, and entirely held in God's hands. And I want us to look, if you could open your Bibles at Psalm 90, because this psalm was written by Moses, a man who buried an entire generation in the wilderness. And he prays in verse 12, words which I'm sure we're familiar with, Psalm 90 and verse 12. He says, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." And that's not a prayer, is it, of someone detached from real life? It's the prayer of someone who has seen how quickly life passes and how easily time can be wasted if it is not lived before God. So to number our days is not about morbid counting, but about honest awareness. It means recognizing that every day is a gift, isn't it? Every opportunity is limited and every life is accountable. So our thoughts this morning are not about adding pressure to our already busy lives and full lives. It's about allowing God to teach us just to take that moment out of our lives to pause, to allow God to teach us gently but truthfully how to live our lives with eternity in view. Because, brothers and sisters, when we learn to number our days, we do not value life less, we value it more. And we begin to live it for the things that truly last. So, this passage in this psalm, he's not telling us to be rushing through life without stopping to reflect from time to time on where we're going. You see, we're on a journey, aren't we, brethren and sisters? And we've got a destination to reach, haven't we? A hope to realize. So I think it's telling us to be mindful of the passing of time and allowing ourselves to see the present moment that we are in. To see that more clearly. And I think it's also telling us to take time out from our busy lives to reflect on the time that we have behind us, the past, the events in our lives which have brought us to this moment in time. I think it's also telling us about to think about the time that's before us, the future. Consider how best we can order our lives and take those decisions that we may have to take to get us to that destination that we all hope and long for. So that's what I'd like us to think about this morning a little bit. And to help us, we've got the advice of two well-known characters in the scriptures. The Moses, who wrote that 90th Psalm. We're going to take some advice from him, and we're also going to take some advice from the Apostle Paul. So I want to start by thinking about the past for a moment. How can we use the time that is behind us profitably. Well, if there's one thing that's certain, it's the past, isn't it? And we all have some. Some have more than others. Everyone wants some more past because the alternative doesn't bear thinking about. And all of us have been through experiences that we can reflect on. And I'm pretty sure that there isn't a person in this room who doesn't have something in their big bag of the past that they rather wish wasn't there. It may be a relatively small thing, or something quite big in our eyes, a moment of life which we may have squandered, or which on reflection we might have done a little differently. Maybe it's something that we've done that's been brought about by our own willfulness because the opportunity presented itself. So we all have a past, but maybe there are some things in that past that we wish weren't there. And I assure you we're not going to feel miserable after this. So it's just that God wants us to look back and reflect on that past. You see, the way we view the past puts all kinds of restraints on the way we view and think about the present and about the future. And the Apostle Paul has some advice on dealing with the past. I wondered if you could open your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. And again, there'll be some words that I'm sure we're most of us are familiar with. Philippians 3 and verse 13. And this is what Paul tells us about the past. Philippians 3 and 13. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. In the original, it is, this is the most important thing that I can tell you, says Paul. The way to deal with the past and move forward, says Paul, it's simple. Just forget it. But it's very difficult sometimes to forget, isn't it? The more you think about the thing you want to forget, well, you end up thinking about it, don't you? We're going to come back to Paul in a bit, but then we have the advice of Moses, that great leader of Israel and friend of God. What advice did he have us about dealing with the past? Can you go now to Deuteronomy chapter 8, please? Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. And the people of Israel were at the end of their long journey, weren't they? They were about to get into the promised land. They were about to go into that land. And verse 1 of Deuteronomy 8, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord sware to give to your fathers, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So Moses' advice to us, and the best way to deal with the past and move forward, says Moses, is to remember everything, all the way you have been, all of your journey. So if we are to deal profitably with our past, there are some things, says Paul, which just need to be forgotten. And there are some things, says Moses, which absolutely must be remembered. And our challenge, brethren and sisters, is to determine from our bag of the past which method to apply to which of our experiences. which ones to forget and which ones to remember. You see, our only experience we have of God involves the past. And when we reflect on the past, I am sure we can remember there are times in our lives when we have come to God and asked him for his help and his guidance. Perhaps at some key point in our lives where we're unsure of the way forward, or facing anxiety and pressure or illness. And when we look back, we remember that he has been with us. And he wants us to recognize those times, through the good times, through the tough times, because it is key to how we deal with the present and the future, that which is unknown to us. Look down a few verses to to verse 7 of this 8th chapter. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. And that's where you're going, says Moses. And we can see the parallels, can't we? This is your future. It was in the promises passed down to them, that promised land. And the problem is the bit in between, isn't it? Between now and when they were going to arrive. And that's the problem from us all, isn't it? We know something of the future. We know that through God's grace and mercy, we are journeying through the unknown towards his kingdom. It's the bit between now and when we get there. That's the problem. You know, we've got those verses, those lovely verses, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And Moses is saying, in Moses' advice, the best way of navigating that unknown territory is to be mindful of our experience of the past. And that's what Moses is asking people to think about. Remember, God has been with you. And we look at the example of the children of Israel on that journey. There's an unknown way before you, and the God who guided and led you once with a pillar of cloud and fire was going to do it again. And he's asking you and I to remember the same thing, that God is with us if we stay true and faithful to him. There's a lovely incident in Joshua chapter 3. You remember the chief people there were about to cross the Jordan and begin a journey into the unknown. If you could just turn over to a few pages to Joshua 3. And they were about to go over the river Jordan and go into the land. And the ark, if you remember, was going to go before them. In Joshua 3 and verse 4, we read, yet there shall be a distance between you and it, the ark, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Isn't that lovely? Joshua says, I want you to know that God is going to go before you. Leave a space as you cross the river because you haven't been this way before. And you don't know the way. But God is going to show you. He's going to guide you. Just as he did in the wilderness. And God who parted the water once, well, he'll do it again. And he's asking the people to trust that God will guide and lead them. And the next verse, Joshua says, consecrate yourselves today, for for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What Joshua is saying to us, isn't it, that today is yours and tomorrow is the Lord's. The mystery of tomorrow belongs to God. Prepare yourselves today. Think and reflect today. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The future is unknown, and God will lead you and be with you as he has in the past. Now, I don't know about you, but I get tremendous comfort from listening to those words, to know that God is there, caring for me, doing what is best for me. And that's the wonderful thing about the past, isn't it? When you look back and reflect and remember all the way that the Lord has led us, however far, however long in our lives and in our experience, and we can look back and remember it and carry it with us and never forget it. And it can help with the present. And it can give us confidence to go forward in the future, can't it? But what about that advice of the Apostle Paul? For one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. I forget it, says Paul. I think there's one thing to notice is that both Moses and Paul are talking about going forward. And there's only one really direction that you and I can go, isn't it? It's moving forward, moving into the unknown as you make your journey in life, as we make our journeys in life, moving towards the kingdom, shaping us to become the people he wants us to be. And Paul's on that same journey and he's reaching forward and he says, I'm reaching forward, but for me, one of the ways I can make progress toward the kingdom and the goal is to forget the past. And I want to suggest to you there's one reason, one main reason why we might want to take Paul's advice and try to forget some things in our past. And it's this. Regret over what cannot be changed. Regret is a terrible thing, isn't it? There are some things which may never be erased from our memories, but if we're not very careful, they can become the agony of our life, and that we find difficulty in moving on. And the Apostle Paul would not have us in that situation. If you wouldn't mind opening, going back to Philippians 3, because there's a verse further down that chapter, Philippians 3, which Paul unburdens himself, because he tells us about his own situation and why he wants to forget so much. Says, if you want to know what's in my past, says Paul, listen to this. Verse 5 of Philippians 3, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the Lord, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. And Paul's saying, I'll tell you what it means to look back and have things that I'm not proud of. I persecuted the church. I put faithful brothers and sisters to death. And I took pride in it. And you know how I deal with that, says Paul. I forget it. Because that's the only way I can move forward. I have to forget it. Now, what about our own? I know we cannot just magically erase things from our memories, can we? I'm not suggesting we make light of sin and of the things that we regret, but to brood over them, I think, brothers and sisters, is not helpful. See, not only Paul, but it's God himself, isn't it, who, in his love and mercy, permits us to move on. He doesn't say, you shouldn't have done that, but we'll say no more about it. He casts those things behind his back. He forgives and he forgets. He allows you and I to forget those things which hinder our progress, and we have to believe it, and we have to move on. The past cannot be changed, but the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins can stand between us and our past and allow us to move forward. One great reason to forget that which cannot be changed, or at least cannot let it trouble us, is and colour our thinking, is about the present and the future. And that allows us to move on when we think of these things. So it's all about moving forward in our lives, isn't it, brethren and sisters? It's about thinking about the past. It's about remembering the past. It's about forgetting some things in our past. Time's like an escalator. Trying to go back in the past is like going up the escalator the wrong way, isn't it? And when I was young, I was always tempted to have a go. Each time it would be the greatest feat in human history if I could get to the top of this escalator while it was going the other way. Trying to go back into the past is like that, isn't it, sometimes? So let's, like Paul and like Moses, move forward, our eyes fixed on that vision of the kingdom. Let's absolutely remember all the way the Lord has led us to this point. Let us absolutely forget those things that would hinder us and impede our progress. For we have the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ to thank for that. And when we face troubles and uncertainties, when we might be tempted to think, where is our God? Well, let's sit down and think of the way that he has brought us to this point in time. Let us remember he's bringing us to a good land. You see, as for today, there's a danger that we just drift through life with time just draining away. Let us always be prepared. Let us be mindful of every day so that we can see the present moment clearly. And the great challenge, I think, for us, brothers and sisters, today is that we don't regret it when it becomes the past. Our actions and our attitudes, if we're not careful, if we don't have the right attitude, we can regret it when it becomes the past. So that's the exhortation, that's the point, isn't it? And that's what I think teach us to number our days means. To be mindful of every moment, to think of the present, and so order our lives and our actions and our interactions with us, with our brothers and sisters and friends and those we come into contact, so that when it becomes a past, we don't regret it. Imagine what it must have been like for the Lord Jesus Christ to number his days. He was aware from the outset that there was an hour to come when he'd be offered up as the Lamb of God. And you remember many times in the Gospels, he said, "Mine hour is not yet come." And it drove him on. He knew that there were things to be done, people to see, things to do. He had to complete the task his father had set him, and he was mindful every passing moment. And eventually that hour did come for our Lord, didn't it? John 17, verse 1, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And he did all that, and he did it for you and for me, brethren and sisters. That allows us to move on in our lives, to forget those things that we may regret, knowing that there is forgiveness and that God forgets. So let us remember now with grateful hearts our Lord's example and what he has done for us. Let us be mindful of every passing moment as he did. And Lord, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom.